until the actual members arrive, but everywhere they are rentals and other things. So we can rent, I suppose. But we need to start so that we are able to manage time, because as we all know that we must also take SADC as soon as we finish. Welcome, Chairperson, Dr. Manube. Welcome you and your councillors who are here. Also welcome the CEO and your team. We also welcome the operators, our friends from media. I know with the media we're not permanent friends and we're not permanent enemies. Whatever happens, it becomes a short leaf and then we carry on. The CEOs from the public entities, MDDA, and SAPC is here also, DOC, the ministry, everyone who's here. You are most welcome. We are going to start the presentation by ICASA. But I will request them to start with the strategic plan and the budget. Then hopefully we have to discuss that and finalize so that we go to your election issues related. We also have a division from the Speaker's office which deals with the institutions that support our democracy. They are also here. I'm sure it's their first meeting to attend once ICASA is here. I think they must know them and make friends with them. Because you are supporting our democracy. And as far as Parliament concerns, that office will assist us as committees to strengthen our oversight role to make sure that indeed you strengthen our and support our democracy, you know, the other way around and so on. So you are most welcome. I know that there are also DFSA will be joining us. I'm not sure whether they are here already. They've got quite a number of issues for ICASA and SABC, so they'll be here. If time permits, I'll give them time to ask you questions. I don't want us to pretend as if we know their issues and their aspirations as deaf people. So if they'll be here when you present, it'll be nice to ask them to ask you some of the questions. I know that is the extreme doing of things, but I think we are clear now. When we finish this budget vote and so on, we need to be clear about how do we treat them and how do we handle them moving forward. I think it has been too much. Promises have been made, consultation after consultation, but no action. So we're at the point that now moving forward, their interests need to be taken into consideration. But they are not here now. They will arrive at some point. I'm not sure whether they will arrive for SAPC or also they will arrive for still busy with ICASA and so on. But that change does not mean that we don't appreciate your summit which you have. We appreciate it very much. I'm sure it will be built on to the summit you have and the other things and so on. Thanks very much, members. I will just send it over to ICASA chair as we agreed. You've got 1 hour, 30 minutes. Fortunately, we're in the right room. There are watches here. So, watch. I'll just time you. When your 1 hour, 30 minutes comes to an end, I will tell you that time's up. We'll go to the next part, which will be questions from the members asking you questions about your presentation, even if you didn't finish it. Thanks very much. Over to you, Chair.
Honorable Chairman, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Speaker, so Office Advocate Clay Trial, members of the press that are here, and all the operators that are here, and other distinguished guests that may be here as well. Thank you very much for having us here, Chairman. Before I embark on making my little presentation, I'd like to introduce our members. ICASA does not come by one, but we come by a dozen, as you can see. We have with us here Max C. Liutla, our corporate secretary. We also have our three councillor, Mrs. Sokikwa, William Starkey, and Joe Lebua. Other councillors felt we will be able to represent their thoughts and while they are praying for us to go through here. We also have brought with us Temba Dlamini, our CEO, and Tubani, our CFO, and Bruce, our GM, who is dealing with our compliance, risk, and audit. We hope that this team will be adequate to represent us for this important occasion. We have gone back to the drawing board and would like to reconfirm the following, which we have submitted to you. The three-year corporate strategy was presented to both the minister, the deputy minister, and the department executive team. Comments and inputs were made with respect to our corporate strategy, and today's presentation would reflect on those engagements that we had with the minister and the deputy minister as well. In addition to these inputs, it should be noted that the approach adopted is more of integration and bringing greater efficiency in the system. The three-year strategy is a blueprint from which the performance agreement at all levels, starting with the council, will be derived. In other words, everyone is aligned to this three-year strategy, from council to our sweeper. Everyone is aligned along those lines. The strategy is aligned to government priorities with special focus on outcome 6, outputs 1 and 5 of the minister's performance agreement with the president. Before handing over to the CEO to provide a more elaborate presentation, it is important for members of the portfolio committee to know that the ICT sector is a dynamic sector that requires innovation and not compliance modus operandi. For the authority, the year 2011 and beyond represent an opportunity to recommit ourselves to regulate communication, broadcasting, and postal in the public interest and to do so without fear or favor. And please underline those two words, without fear or favor. We also have talked on top of our agenda at a strategic level is the continuing licensing new operators to level the playing field and to formulate regulations that will enhance fair competition in these two industries so that consumers and the public in general can have choice as well as value for money for services that they require. According to a World Bank publication, the information communication technology sector has experienced explosive growth over the past two decades, and there are over 4.5 billion mobile phone subscriptions globally. The internet has grown to include more than a billion people, and high-speed broadband networks reach more than 400 million subscribers. The implication of all this is that ICT now permeates every aspect of social, political, and economic relationship. These developments can be attributed to government policy and regulatory framework that spurred investment, liberalization, and competition in the ICT sector. The ICT convergence allows delivery of multimedia communication across a range of networks that were traditionally vertically separated. This fundamentally alters the business of ICT infrastructure, services, companies, content, and devices can now interact and work together in new, unprecedented ways, opening markets, challenging existing structures, and allowing innovation with business models. The grand challenges of the industry are embedded in the ecosystem, that is, infrastructure sharing, technology neutrality, availability of spectrum, increased demand in mobile broadband services and access, and increasing internet penetration. The authority has formulated strategic objectives to respond to these grand challenges. On consumer issue, consumer protection and universal service and access are central to our mandate, as we strive to ensure that persons with disabilities and rural far-flung areas are not left behind in the country's quest to create a knowledge information society. Information and communication technology and services can and should play a critical role in service delivery and enhance access to education, health and welfare, job creation and economic opportunities, which I admit are now the cornerstone of our present government. And I can safely say that in the next 10 years, these elements will remain in the epicenter of our government. Last, the authority prides itself in delivering certain key projects in the past year, and this includes a call termination that will see, to the leveling of the playing fields among communication operators. And the authority is already hard at work to ensure that spin-offs accrue from the technology transition to a digital platform benefiting all across the board. The digital dividends should introduce more competition and choice in the broadcasting and electronic communication sectors, but also universal access and services. And I think universal access and services, given what is happening in our country, is now also becoming our flagship. And we are going to make sure that, as regulator, we pay special attention to that. In preparing our country for the forthcoming local government election for 2011, the regulations with respect to these elections have been formulated to ensure that broadcasting services are used in a fair and equitable manner at the time of the polls. This, Honorable Chair, we are going to have a special presentation after we have done our corporate element, just to show you how well, ICASA has prepared itself to deal with these upcoming elections. Consumer education outreach programs for all our communities will remain a priority, as I said, and the authority will partner government, portfolio organizations, and private companies in the communication and postal sectors. I'm sure Twix is happy to know that. Flagship projects for the new year include developing local loop unbundling regulations, the licensing of spectrum, and monitoring of local government election broadcasting, as well as monitoring the impact of the call termination regulation on the retail voice market with regard to affordability of services and for consumers. These colleagues, we want to reiterate that from ICASA's standpoint, we started with the call termination for wholesale, and if that does not work well, we will then move to the retail section. So don't be persuaded by others, you know, to push us into the retail. We at ICASA, we move systematically in doing things. And last but not least, you know, at the international level, ICASA will also be taking over the chairmanship of CRASA, which is a regulatory body for whole of SADC, and we do hope that we will try and harmonize for our operators, you know, so that they can operate here and also at SADC in a seamless and ubiquitous way. Now, honorable members and honorable chairman, I would like to hand over to my chairperson. I think you got me talking more than what you are giving me in terms of payment, yet he should be doing all that. Over to you, Chief.
The only problem is that you are eating his time to do his work, which is paid to do. But I forgot when I was introducing people who are here to congratulate Dr. Masha Sotsikwa because his appointment to ICASA has been extended, or he has been reappointed as a councillor. I just forgot to mention that we wish you well in your next term as a councillor for ICASA. Thanks very much, CEO.
And we do appreciate her appointment, Chair, and I hope you will keep this team for the next 10 years so that I can accomplish my goals. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members, the media, and the colleagues from the industry. Having gone back to the drawing board, we looked at our mission and vision, and we wanted to be relevant in terms of government priorities. One of the areas where we wanted to be relevant was to ensure that we advance a society that is digitally driven. So our vision is basically saying we want to advance the building of a digital society. The mission is centered around three pillars. One is on access. The second aspect is on a wide range of high-quality communication services. And then the third pillar is affordable prices. In terms of trying to achieve or meet our mandate, we have an organizational structure that is composed of the council and the executive. You will see from the presentation, ICASA has got plus minus 9 to 10 general managers with various portfolios, and then you also have the relevant councillors attached to the organogram. We went back to look at our values compared to the last years, and we, as I said, we wanted to be more relevant. And we looked at the values that will actually inform our roadmap going forward. One of the value statements that we have is necessity. And necessity, there are three areas that talks about necessity. Evidence-based regulation. In other words, whatever regulation that the authority will churn out, it has to be based on evidence, best practice around the world, before you can actually tamper with the market or the industry. The other aspect to necessity is that the regulations that you want to bring into the industry should try to reduce barriers into the entry, the industry. So again, this value statement is basically saying ICASA is ready to work in that particular area. The third aspect in terms of necessity is simplifying or reducing regulations so that you allow competition to take its own space rather than being a hindrance. The next value statement is effectiveness. In other words, we want to have our mandate should be able to inform our industry and also the ability to say whatever decision we make, there is an impact attached to that particular decision. The third value statement is on proportionality. And again, here, any regulator around the world has to demonstrate that whatever decisions they make, the decisions are objective, they are transparent, and proportionate, and the decisions are in a proportionate manner. And where interventions are necessary, the regulator will obviously come in. On transparency, it may seem to be obvious that any regulator has to demonstrate that it's transparent. But again, we just want to reemphasize that as a Schedule 1 entity, now Schedule 1 and Schedule 3 are completely different. And I'm emphasizing Schedule 1 because we have a lot of teeth. But at the same time, we have to should demonstrate that we are a transparent authority. Accountability is quite clear that we are accountable to Parliament. And lastly, on the value statement, is that we've got to be consistent in whatever decisions we make or regulations we put out in the public space. Just to reiterate that the Minister of Communication has a performance agreement with the President, and one of the key areas that is centered around this performance agreement is outcome 6. You all know that government has embarked on 12 outcomes. We have only have one outcome that talks to the minister's performance agreement, and that is about efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network. Now, attached to that outcome is the output, which is talking about improving competition and regulation. That's output number one. And output number five is information and communication technology. In the upcoming slides, I will try to demonstrate how our corporate strategy is interlinked with this particular outcome and also the outputs thereof. There are 8 strategic objectives. Now, some of the objectives have been refined to show relevance, and there are some of the objectives that are not necessarily new, but they are becoming an important one. And the first objective is talking to ensuring effective participation by the historically disadvantaged individuals in the industry. But this means that we want to promote empowerment of historically disadvantaged persons, including black people, with particular attention to the needs of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. The second objective is to ensure the provision of broadband services. That is, all South Africans should have affordable access to reliable high-speed broadband services. Also, the regulatory policies must promote open access, technology neutrality, and investment to ensure that broadband services providers have sufficient incentive to develop and offer broadband services, as well as harness the capacities of the state in support of the provision of broadband services. The third objective is around optimize the use of the radio frequency spectrum to support the widest variety of services. In this regard, we are talking about efficient and effective use of frequency spectrum to promote the growth and rapid deployment of innovative and efficient communications technologies and services. The first objective is to promote the protection of consumers and accessibility for persons with disabilities. That is to ensure the continued protection of consumers in the ICT and postal sector through the advocacy and awareness raising programs and a streamlined complaint handling system. Also attached to that particular strategic objective is to ensure the needs of persons with disabilities are provided for and that there is a compliance by operators to meet their requirements. Strategic Objective 5 talks to the promote the development of public, community, and commercial broadcasting services in the context of digital migration. The authority or ICASA will promote the development of public, commercial, and community broadcasting services which are responsive to the needs of the public, competitive, diverse, and which promote a plurality of news, views, and information, and provide a wide range of entertainment and educational programs, a proportion of which are locally produced. Objective 6 is to ensure compliance with legislation and regulation. ICASA will advocate for compliance with applicable laws and regulations in South Africa. The authority will also investigate and audit activities by licensed and unlicensed entities to ensure compliance. Objective 7, this is the most talked about objective. Also in the ruling party, there's been talk about, and there's also a resolution about strengthening of ICASA and also SABC. And our response to that was that we will try to strengthen an ICASA and modernize it. Now, what does it mean? ICASA will be an efficient and a highly productive regulator that maximizes benefit to stakeholders, staff and management from effective systems, processes, resources, and organizational culture. The authority will promote internal and external service quality standards. ICASA will also continue the authority-wide capacity building program focusing on staff development, maintain a close partnership with the Department of Communications, National Treasury to address funding shortfalls, and demonstrate financial viability and good governance through the organization. The last strategic objective is promote competition. This is where we are talking about leveling the playing field. We will promote competition in the provision of electronic communication, postal, and broadcasting services that support the nation's economy and the development goals of the Republic. The competitive framework should foster innovation and offer consumers a reliable and meaningful choices in affordable services. The next set of slides are basically trying to demonstrate to the Honorable Members, Chair, and the stakeholders out there that we have actually put weights against each and every strategic objective. And where we have a lower weight, it does not necessarily suggest that the objective is not important, but it simply means that work has already commenced for the last 3 or 5 years. The first objective, ensure effective participation by historically disadvantaged individuals in the industry. The weight that is attached to that particular strategic objective is 10, and the delivery agent, that is the division within ICASA, will be the licensing and compliance, markets and competition divisions. The second objective, ensure the provision of broadband services. We have put 16 as a weight, and the delivery agent is markets, competition, engineering, and technology. Third objective, optimize the use of radio frequency spectrum to support the widest variety of services. The weighting is 16, and engineering and technology is the delivery agent for that particular objective. The fourth objective, promote the protection of consumers and accessibility for persons with disabilities. The weighting is 10, and the consumer affairs and the regions are responsible for that particular objective. Promote the development of public, community, and commercial broadcasting services in the context of digital migration. The weight there is the 12, and marketing, competition, licensing, and compliance are the delivery agencies. The sixth objective is to ensure compliance with legislation and regulation. The weight that we have attached is 10, and license compliance, markets, and competition, and the regions are the delivery agents or the responsible implementers. Objective 7, strengthen and modernize ICASA. You will see that delivery agents, the weight is 10, and delivery agents, you can see, is quite busy. It's legal, human resources, finance, communication, international relations, compliance, risk. So those are the delivery agents attached to that particular strategic objective. And the last objective, which is promote competition, the weight is 16, market competition, license compliance, and technology and engineering technology are the delivery agencies. Now, honorable members and the chair, perhaps just let's talk briefly about achievements at a glance, what we have achieved for the past month or so. With respect to core termination regulation, we have published core termination regulations. We have analyzed and approved Telkom's 2010-2011 tariff reviews. We have also analyzed SAPO's 2011-2012 tariff reviews. We have analyzed and processed 38 ad hoc tariff applications. And lastly, we have processed 191 numbering applications in as far as core regulations. Licensing of individual commercial free-to-air sound broadcasting services. We have conducted public hearings with respect to 41 received applications. The authority has issued a total of 180 licenses and certificates, 5 community television licenses, 32 community sound broadcasting licenses, 64 class electronic communications network services licenses, 48 class electronic communications services licenses, and 31 courier service certificates. Licensing of frequency spectrum for the provision of mobile television in terms of the ITU Treaty, Geneva 2006 Regional Radio Communication Conference. Again, in this area, we have also produced a digital migration policy. We are providing 2 metropolitan frequency networks designated for the provisioning of mobile broadcasting services. We have granted and issued radio frequency spectrum license for mobile broadcast services to MultiChoice Africa Pty Limited and ETV Pty Limited. On digital migration, the country is obliged to effect the migration of existing terrestrial television services from analog to digital broadcasting modes. A digital migration policy is in the making, or it has been formulated. A digital migration regulation is also in place that has been done in 2010. Currently, we are reviewing the regulation for the DVB-T2. We have granted and issued to date amended broadcasting services licenses to SABC, ETV, and Trinity Broadcasting Services. Moving forward in terms of monitoring and broadcasting, we have approved 16 annual compliance reports for the period 2009-10. In terms of monitoring local government elections, as the chair has already indicated that we have started preparations, and the presentation will talk to that particular aspect. Monitoring ECNS and ECS license compliance, audit of licenses have been conducted, of licenses have been conducted. Compliance manual development developed for broadcasting services, ECNS, ECS, and postal services. In terms of postal service compliance, there is a draft support 2010-2011 annual compliance report that has been compiled. Complaints and public awareness, we have conducted 5 national awareness campaigns and adjudicated complaints in the CDC. On spectrum, we have published radio frequency spectrum series, and also we have published spectrum licensing framework regulation for high demand bands. We have published draft radio regulations. We have issued 2,321 new radio frequency spectrum licenses. Issued 2,254 type approval authorizations. And we have received 214 broadcasting spectrum applications. The following spectrum activities were carried out as a demonstration of our achievement. The completion of a radio frequency spectrum audit for the 161 to 173 MHz, for the 450 to 470 MHz, and 790 to 862 MHz bands. We conducted the GSM quality of service drive test along major routes in Johannesburg, Bloemfontein, and Durban. Engagement with the GSM operators to standardize drive test methodologies. Maintenance inspection of all ICASA monitoring stations nationwide. We have timelessly issued spectrum and type approval authorization for the 2010 FIFA World Cup project. A GSM quality of service monitoring at the 2010 FIFA World Cup stadia. And continuous engagement of a tertiary research institution and participation in relevant international and national forums. On consumer affairs, an advocacy strategy was formulated and implemented. Regular updating of the website to assist consumers that have access to our website, and consumer representative forums were established to assist in the mainstreaming consumer protection in the community. A national campaign strategy was formulated and implemented. Public awareness campaign in respect of complaints handling procedures through workshops, distribution of complaints handling procedure pamphlets in 11 languages, as well as distribution of complaints manuals. And the authority hosted the National Summit for Persons with Disabilities. The midterm target for 2012 to 2014, the subsequent slides are not necessarily going to reflect on the outer year, but we are saying for the members, honorable members and chair, to know that the medium-term target for 2011-2012 is detailed as the strategic objective on slides 22 to 40 in this presentation. And in part B of the three-year corporate strategy, that is on page 18 to page 44 of the strategic corporate strategy. And then the medium-term targets 2013 and 2013-14, the medium-term targets for subsequent years are not discussed in this presentation, but are detailed in part B of the strategy, and they are on page 8 to page 44, page 18 to page 44. Now, the strategic objectives, all eight strategic objectives, have been realigned in such a way that they are integrated to the outcome 6, output 1, and output 5 of the Minister's Performance Agreement. And also they are aligned to the performance management system that will be an instrument that is going to be used to measure the performance of the Council. And that performance management system will obviously come to this particular portfolio committee in due course, and these strategic objectives are mainly aligned around this particular management system. Now, in ensuring participation by the AGIs in the industry, the output, one of the outputs is report on ownership trends and structures for 50% of all the licensees in the sector. The performance indicator is to monitor ownership plans and audit ownership structures in the sector. Now, for the 2011-2012, we will publish the final findings document, a report on ownership plans and structures for the 50% of all ICASA licensees, draft recommendations to the minister on proposed changes to the ECHA Act as required. The other output to this particular objective is to monitor impact of ownership structures on diversity of broadcasting services content. The indicator is to ensure licensing improved sectors, AGI profile in the broadcast service sector. And then in 2011-2012, we'll conduct study on impact of ownership in the broadcast services sector on diversity of views. The next output is a completed inquiry process on ownership by persons with disabilities, disability, women, and youth. The performance indicators to develop regulations that address the empowerment of the youth, women, and persons with disabilities. And then the target would be to conduct study on the status of empowerment of youth, women, and persons with disabilities in the sector. The next output on the same strategic objective is documented AGI compliance with regulations that are in place. And the indicator is to develop a long-term AGI rollout plan. And then the 2011-2012 target is to develop a comprehensive compliance report on AGI in the sector. Moving forward on this particular objective, we're looking at objective number two that talks to the ensure the provision of broadband services. Now, the output in this regard is by September 2011, we will have a broadband colloquium with stakeholders. And the indicator is a regulatory strategy for broadband. And the target in 2011-2012 is to develop a supply-side plan for broadband access in South Africa and consult stakeholders through this particular colloquium. The next output on this particular objective is to establish an e-carver industry sector and nationwide broadband community. The indicator will be a functional joint working committee for broadband. And then the target for 2011-2012 is to set up the nationwide community jointly with or independently of the Department of Communications. The next output on this particular strategic objective is to finalize and publish local loop unbundling framework by November 2011. And then the indicator is to publish local loop unbundling framework. The target, release a guideline under the ECFL regulation to facilitate leasing of local loop by the 1st November 2011. The next output is by March 2012, would identify a spectrum for broadband, including from a digital dividend. The indicator is to report on spectrum for broadband, and the 2011-2012 target is to identify available spectrum in suitable bands, publish finding documents for the allocation of spectrum afforded by the digital switchover program, and then also preparation work on assignment plan for broadband spectrum. Continuing on this particular objective, that is ensure provision of broadband services, the other output is to promote the sharing of infrastructure by the provision of broadband services. And then the indicator is a framework for infrastructure sharing between licensees. The target is the recommendations to enhance infrastructure sharing. The next output is improve coordination of infrastructure initiative between local and provincial governments and the Broadband Intergovernmental Implementation Committee. The performance indicator is a framework for coordinating infrastructure sharing at local and government and provincial government levels. The target for 2011-2012 is to identify existing infrastructure and key government infrastructure rollout plans. The next output is identify hindrances to broadband penetration and propose corrective measures. The indicator is reduce barriers for broadband penetration. And in 2011-2012, they report on recommendations to remove barriers to network investment as well as incentives to facilitate investment in electronic communication infrastructure. Objective 3, optimize the use of radio frequency spectrum to support the widest variety of services. The output is the approval of radio frequency migration strategy. The indicator is review radio frequency plan and committed radio frequency migration strategy and plan by the 31st March 2012. We also want to develop a framework for spectrum reform in as far as that output is concerned. And in 2011-2012, there will be a publication of the final frequency migration plan. The next output on this particular objective is publish the replanning of the broadcasting bands to optimize DTT, formation of the Joint Spectrum Advisory Committee in terms of DTT regulation, public inquiry for reallocation of digital dividend. The indicator is managed implementation of the broadcasting frequency plan from analog to digital migration. And in 2011-2012, the target is the formation of the Joint Spectrum Advisory Committee and three meetings to be held, also replanning of the UHF and VHF broadcasting bands, and a discussion document on requirements and planning philosophy. The next output also on this particular objective is licensing of all wireless broadband spectrum. The indicator, all available spectrum for wireless broadband, is assigned and utilized as a catalyst to countries' broadband objective. The target licensing of the remaining spectrum in the 900, 800, and 2100 megahertz bands, and ETA and licensing of 2.6 and the 3.5 gigahertz bands. Objective 3, continue the output to that objective, the development of a 10-year roadmap for spectrum. The performance indicator is a colloquium on the future use of spectrum. And in 2011-2012, assessment and a discussion document on current and future usage of wireless broadband spectrum. The next output on this objective is report on a comprehensive usage of spectrum. The indicator completed a spectrum audit, and in 2011-2012, we will provide a report on a comprehensive usage of broadband wireless spectrum. The other output is draft report on the development of spectrum assignment dashboard. The indicator defines spectrum metrics, for example, utilization, coverage, and so forth. And then in 2011-2012, we'll have the implementation of an end-to-end automated spectrum management system. Strategic objective 4 is about the protection of consumers and accessibility for persons with disabilities. The output is report on consumer satisfaction, and the indicator is a consumer satisfaction index. And in 2011-2012, we'll have developed a framework to measure consumer satisfaction. The next output on this objective is a consumer program, consumer programs, and the indicator is a consumer advocacy campaign. And in 2011-2012, 711 consumer outreach interventions will be held. A consumer education and information program will also be held. Report on consumer outreach and advocacy in both the rural and urban areas. The next output is the Increased Accessibility Initiative for Persons with Disabilities. The indicator is to report on success of accessibility initiatives. And then for 2011-2012, we'll develop regulations on accessibility to communications services by persons with disabilities. And also attached to that, we will produce licensing compliance report on accessibility to communication services by persons with disabilities. The next output is to improve consumer complaints redress. And the indicator is to consumer complaints should be addressed or redressed within 30 days. The target is that an alternative dispute resolution committee should be established to fast-track the disputes. And then 65% of the complaints redress are done within 30 days. Moving forward on this particular objective, again, we are saying the output is to monitor and report accessibility and quality of services by licensee to consumers. The indicator is monitor accessibility and the quality of services provided by licensees to consumers. And then we'll produce post-visit reports in that particular year. Also, we'll produce a quality service report in as far as that output is concerned. The output, the next output is to develop a memoranda of understanding with the National Consumer Commission. Performance indicator is conduct discussions with the NCCC, and then in 2011-2012, a task team to be constituted, a memorandum of understanding designed with the NCCC, cooperation and collaboration between ICASA and NCCC is also strengthened. Ensure compliance with the consumer protection regulation. The indicator is prescribed consumer protection regulation. And in the year 2011-2012, we will review and have a publication on CAP regulation, review and publication of the of E-rate regulations, of the E-rate regulations once ICA is amended. Application and application of exemption in response to Consumer Protection Act, develop code of practice for meeting and billing accuracy, a code of practice for complaints handling and dispute resolution. Promote the development of public, community and commercial broadcasting service in the context of digital migration. The output to this particular objective is a review of the existing regulatory frameworks or regime for broadcasting services and related policies to reflect the new evolving digital environment. The indicator is a framework for broadcasting in the digital era, taking into account the three license groups, that is public broadcasting, commercial broadcasting, and community broadcasting. The target is a review of the existing regulatory framework and or regime for broadcasting services and latest policy to reflect the new evolving digital environment. The next output on this particular objective is a review of digital dividend for allocation to identified services. And the indicator is the implementation of a digital terrestrial TV, television, and digital dividend review. And in 2011-2012, a review on digital migration regulations will be in place. Next output is to promote diversity of broadcasting services, and indicator is licensing of additional TV licenses. The next output is improvement in diversity and quality of local content. The performance indicator is report on the status of local content. Output, I mean, strategic objective number six talks to the ensuring compliance and with legislation and regulation. The output with this, with respect to this particular objective is compliance procedure manuals by June 2011, and then the indicator is to publish a compliance framework for all licensees. And in 2011-12, we will publish the compliance procedure manual regulations, implement the regulations and procedure annual compliance report. Next output is improved monitoring and compliance in the postal sector. The indicator is the development of regulations on standard terms and conditions for unreserved postal services. And in 2011-2012, we will publish a publication of the regulation on standard terms and conditions for unreserved postal services. The next output on this objective is improved monitoring and compliance in the communication sector. The performance indicator is the review of regulation on standard and terms and conditions and processes and procedure regulation for class and individual licenses broadcasting services. The target is publication of the amended regulations on standard terms and conditions and processes and procedure regulations for class and individual licenses broadcasting services. The next output is consult on and publish the Universal Service Access Obligation Regulation by January 2012, and also consult and publish USA Regulation by October 2011. The indicator is review Universal Service Access Obligation Framework and gazetted definitions and list of all under-service areas. In 2011-2012, we will publish the findings documents on Universal Service Access Obligation Framework and prescribe Section 8, Subsection 4 regulations. Furthermore, on the particular strategic objective, the output is develop and publish annual compliance report by March 2012. The indicator is publish reports on compliance with legislation and regulation, publish annual compliance reports, report on party political broadcast during the local, provincial, 2011 national government elections of 2014. The target for 2011-2012 for that particular output is 75% compliance by licensee through active and passive monitoring for the ECS, the ECNS, broadcasting and postal services. We'll also produce 20 annual compliance reports, including local government elections. And lastly, we'll create capacity to monitor compliance for new broadcasting monitoring equipment. The next output is the enforcement of pro-competitive measures in line with regulatory and legislative requirements. The indicator is an annual analysis report on regulated financial reporting for specified services. Furthermore, on this particular objective, the output ensure compliance with numbering plan regulations to ensure that licensees utilize numbers efficiently and effectively. The indicator is an annual audit report on number utilization and implementation of corrective measures. In 2011-2012, we'll produce an annual number audit report. The next output is monitor implementation of the IC and FL regulation. The indicator is review of IC and FL agreements done within time frames, report on the status of interoperability of ECS and ECNS licenses, including interconnection and the leasing of electronic communications facilities. In 2011-2012, the development and introduction of a database for online submission and data storage, and a 90% of agreement process within the required time frames. Annual reports on interoperability are produced. The last but one strategic objective talks to the strengthening and modernizing of ICASA. The outputs complete the proposed funding model and engage stakeholder, that is National Treasury and the Department of Communication. The indicator is establish a self-funding model for ICASA. And in 2011-2012, a new funding model finalized based on activity-based costing model and develop budget model. We also would want to engage with stakeholders on this new funding model. The next output is to have an automated regulatory and business process, integrated talent management system, and the indicator is an integrated management system for ICASA. The target is an integrated end-to-end business process, update the JDE, a new spectrum system implemented, and have a blueprint on the CRM and the HRIS system. The next output is completed review and implementation of a new organizational structure. The indicator is reviewed organizational structures to align with the strategy. And in 2011-2012, 80% implementation of the organizational review study, change management process, a new organizational structure, and also organizational readiness for transformation imperatives. Moving along, the next output is the complete organizational-wide skills audit and training program. The indicator is to review the skills pool aligned with the strategy. And the target will be a report on competency gaps for core division, have a dual career pathing model implemented in core division, enhance leadership competencies and transform organizational culture, approval of talent management and development strategy, and internship and learnership in core areas. The next output is publish a regulatory impact assessment report. The indicator there is have a regulatory impact assessment framework, and in 2011-2012, we formulate a regulatory impact assessment framework. The next output is to maximize values, value derived from resources and assets. The indicator is quarterly report on management of resources and assets. And in 2011-2012, 50% reduction in asset losses, integrated performance management system framework for ICASA. We refresh our IT technology and provide for growth to the business. The next output stakeholder satisfaction index. The indicator is improve stakeholder relation, and the target for 2011-2012 annual stakeholder reputation survey and development intervention measures. The next output is an economic rental location that is identified and we occupy. This has been a long-standing issue which obviously we will have to deal with in the financial year. Well, obviously the target for the indicator there is the actual relocation. By 2011, ICASA should have relocated to a new head office. The next output, review and strengthen financial and other internal controls. The indicator is to improve governance systems, and in that regard, the target is to have a management dashboard, enhance financial system, improve service level standards between divisions, compliance with ICASA's approved record management program, a coherent risk strategy, and implementation plan. Furthermore, on this particular strategic objective, the output is contribute to the industry knowledge management. The indicator improved stakeholder engagement and international relations, and in 2011-2012, develop and implement an engagement strategy with regulators and agencies. Develop and implement an engagement strategy for improved access to information about ICASA's regulatory activities for external stakeholders. And also develop and implement an engagement strategy for an improved flow of information within the organization. The next output is regulations finalized and gazetted timely. The indicator, all projects are aligned with project plans and timelines. And then the target, develop and implement project management framework. The other output is effective participation of councillors in corporate council committees. Performance indicator there is ensuring governance, and in 2011-2012 we'll report on committee work. Objective 7 continue again. Output is timeous amendments and transfer of ECNS, ECS, and broadcasting service licenses. The indicator is license amendment and transfer application are considered within 120 days of receipt. And in 2011-2012, all received license amendment and transfer application are considered within the stipulated period, which is 120 days. Timeous registration of class, broadcasting ECS and ECNS license and courier services. The indicator is class license registration considered within 60 days of receipt. The target it will be all class ECS, ECNS, community sound broadcasting services, courier services license are considered within 60 working days of receipt. The next output is a centralized complaints management system. The indicator is a completed framework for centralizing complaints handling to ensure the efficient and timely resolution of all complaints received, implement the framework and monitor and evaluate the effectiveness of the process thereafter. In 2011-2012, we'll develop a framework for complaints handling. The last strategic objective, which is the promotion of competition, the output is to determine the competitiveness of the postal broadcasting services, ECS and ECNS, or any other market. And the indicator reports on the competitiveness of the market. In 2011-2012, we intend to have a consultation on regulations governing the broadcasting signal distribution market, a discussion document on markets for provision of lease line, a research report to inform regulatory strategy towards premium content, including subscription broadcasting services, and also an annual review of retail prices for electronic communication services. The next output on this particular objective is target set for new players having access to spectrum. The indicator ensure a fair spectrum distribution. And in 2011-2012, spectrum availability plans and targets for new players having access to broadband wireless spectrum are in place. Moving along on this particular objective, one of the other outputs is develop annual reports on aspects of the communications infrastructure. The indicator is increased network rollout and provides government, industry, and consumers with a clear indication of the state of health of the communications sector, communications infrastructure. And then in 2011-2012, we'll report on existing networks and colloquium on networks. The next output is promote diversity and choice of broadcasting services. The indicator is licensing of additional subscription television broadcasting services license and licensing of individual ECNS licenses for self-provisioning. And in 2011-2012, an ITA for pay TV issued and an ITA for iECNS for self-provisioning is issued. The next output is promote diversity and choice of broadcasting services. And the indicator is licensing of commercial sound broadcast services license in secondary markets, that is Northern Cape, Free State, and the Eastern Cape. And in 2011-2012, we'll issue an ITA for commercial sound broadcasting services. The next output is efficient use of numbering spectrum. The indicator is the introduction of a new numbering plan regulation and the review of existing regulations affecting number allocation to foster competition. And then the target is the finalization of the numbering plan under the ECA Act by October 2011, facilitate full implementation of carrier pre-select regulation. Moving along, this particular objective, the output to promote and foster infrastructure sharing in the provision of postal services. The indicator is the introduction of licensing framework for ETOs and regulatory framework to facilitate infrastructure sharing. The target for 2011-2012 is finding documents on e-post services and infrastructure sharing, including ETOs, regulatory framework for infrastructure sharing, including ETOs for efficient sharing of existing infrastructure. Our next output is sector intelligence reports identifying changing trends in the ICT sector, that is broadcast, postal, and electronic communication. The indicator is a biannual report or biannual reports on trends in the ICT sector. And in 2011-2012, we'll produce an annual report. The next output is the development of a new pro-competitive remedies. The indicator is the introduction of pro-competitive remedies to promote competition, that is regulation on wholesale rates. And in 2011-2012, the remedies are in line with market reviews, and there is an RFR for call termination.
Actually, we are trading on dangerous ground in terms of time.
How much time?
Make sure that you move towards finish.
Okay. Okay. In trying to align our key deliverables in terms of what the performance...
It's 15 minutes to be precise.
Okay.
Which you have.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. What we have done with this slide that you see is an extract of the performance information system that comes from National Treasury. And it is a precursor to demonstrate that whatever deliverables that are aligned to our strategic objective, they must be measurable. So the end result is that you need to also ensure that the deliverables have some sort of impact. So this particular slide is just a precursor to say that we have looked at all those particular steps and we are trying to achieve the last part of that particular diagram, that is the impact going forward. So in the next 3 years or so, ICASA should be monitored on impact. Now, we have also looked at how we realign our corporate strategy and our objective, and the focus will mainly be on the outcomes and the indicators. They must be precise, they must be measurable. The new philosophy in ICASA will be to have business plans that are reflective of what the corporate strategy entails, and it will also have clearly defined outputs, activities, and so forth. We'll also have a system in place where you have proper quarterly monitoring reports on performance information and the development of an integrated performance information system. And with time, in other governments here, they call it a shareholder compact agreement. In ICASA, it may be referred to as a PMS. This PMS will be a blueprint that governs the relationship between the minister and the department, the minister and ICASA. Now, this slide is the actual allocation, and the reason for presenting this slide is not to reopen the debate about our allocation. It's basically to reflect to the members that this is the actual allocation that we have, and in the subsequent slide you will see that it may look as if it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. But ICASA has been given this allocation, and this is what we have to do in order to manage the industry. Now, the forward-looking plan, the previous slide shows that 60% of our allocation goes to staff cost, and 40% is what we are left with to manage the industry. Now, in the next 3 years or so, we want to reverse that particular split to say 40% should be your staff cost and 60% should be on the core function of the organization. Now, how do we do that? One, if you look at the compensation of employees, we can say an increase of the budget allocation will reduce the employee cost vis-a-vis the total budget allocation. In addition, a plan is now being formulated to reduce expenditure from 60% to 40% for employee compensation over the next 4 years. That is, in 2011, 2012, we'll have to still, deal with the 60%. But in 2012, 2013, we are looking at 50%, 2013, 14, 45%, and eventually in 2014, 2015, we should be looking at a split of 40-60 and no longer a split of 60-40. And then the implementation of this ratio will be achieved by the following. One, we improved work methods to eliminate wastage of resources and duplication overlaps of activities, automation of processes to enhance the efficiency, effectiveness, and quality outputs. Natural attrition will create opportunity to redesign jobs and elevate competency requirements in terms of retirements, resignations, incapacity, expiry of contracts, conversion of remuneration structure to total cost to the employer package will also provide accurate labor cost forecast. And project-related labor cost must be a component of budgeted project cost. The revenue that we administer as ICASA, if you look at in 2008, 2009, we were collecting at least 2.4 billion from the industry, which we have to take back to the national fiscus. Well, that number came down in 2009 and 2010 to 1 billion, or 1.1 billion, and that was due to the reduction. The reduction was due to the ECHA implementation, or the ECHA Act. And then the actual for 2010, 2011 is just sitting at less than a billion. Okay. But the forecast is showing that it will move to 1.4 as a result of the new spectrum fees regime. So what we are trying to demonstrate with this particular slide is that we collect this amount of money, but if you look at what we have received for 2010, 2011, 2012, we are basically scratching the surface. Now, these are the additional funds, and we are not saying to the members and chair that we want the funds to be allocated now. All we are saying is that we have a budget, we have specific challenges, and the challenges are real, and they're in this particular area. In terms of strategic objective, one, there are no additional funds that will be required. But if you see where the funds are going to be required, it's in all those other objectives. One objective that remains key is the one that talks to strengthen and modernize ICASA. You will see that there will be a lot of money that will be required, close to $77 million for this current financial year. But again, we are saying we will try to go into a reprioritization exercise to address part of Strategic Objective 7, but this simply means that there will be a need of engagement with the Department of Communication to look at additional funds perhaps going forward. Now, we have just broken down the $133 million in those particular categories. One is the head office relocation, one area where we have found ourselves lacking because we do not necessarily have the capabilities nor the equipment is in the area of the equipment required to do ensure effective compliance and enforcement. We are looking at broadcasting equipment worth $21 million and spectrum software worth $12 million. The organizational review and skills audit, that will require about $13 million. And then to finalize the funding model, that will require $2 million. And then in order to improve strengthening financial and the IT and operational controls, we are looking at $12 million. And then in as far as regulatory projects, in terms of broadband, frequency spectrum, broadcasting services, we are looking at $11 million, consumer affairs, $8 million. The review of licensee regulations, standard terms of conditions is another $7 million. And the market review or pro-competitive remedies is another $8 million. So we are looking at $133 million of additional funds. But as I said, again, this is not to say to the portfolio committee, give us the money now, but we are saying going forward there is an opportunity to engage the various role players to come to our rescue. And this is basically a further breakdown of the head office relocation in the event the question is asked, why so much money? This is basically what it comes to. You've got physical movement that will be about five IT and telephone infrastructure, $9 million. So the entire amount comes to $39 million. That's the breakdown. Now, there are risks associated with all the strategic objectives. One of the risks at an operational level is the overall lack of funding. That is a strategic risk that we are faced with. The head office relocation is an obvious one. The non-availability of end-to-end spectrum management software is another one. The lack of state-of-the-art broadcasting monitoring equipment. We can't monitor SABC because they've got the most advanced equipment. We are still operating using archaic equipment. The organizational restructuring and need for change management. We missed an opportunity during the period of SATRA and IBA to realign the organization to become relevant. And because we missed that opportunity, there is a need to revisit that particular aspect and try to make sure that you've got the required competencies in the organization. And not having optimal funding, I think I've talked about it, no capacity to perform monitoring to ensure quality of communication services, that's a challenge that we are faced with. The lack of competency to deliver at the right level is another challenge that we are faced with. The fact that ICASA has employed general managers and incidentally all of their contracts terminate at the same time. So that poses some serious challenges for ICASA as to one, you know, institutional memory and fast tracking, you know, the development of your senior managers. So that is a challenge that we are faced with, and it is a risk. So we need a succession plan to deal with that particular risk. There have been also challenges around the resistance of a performance management framework because, again, we missed that opportunity during the IBA and SATRA era. So we are dealing with that kind of resistance, but that can be managed. It's a risk that can be managed within. Delays in migration of terrestrial broadcasting from analog to digital will also pose a major risk to the authority. Ongoing litigation designed to delay the implementation of regulation. As I said, the regulator does not have sufficient funds to fight these battles out there because of the purse is too small to deal with it. Now, this slide basically demonstrates what ICASA, because we don't talk about other things except regulation. But what we are trying to demonstrate is our contribution to the medium-term strategic framework development indicators. This is a document that has been produced in the Office of the Presidency, and there are a number of indicators. We have just flagged those that are relevant to ICASA. One of them is the one that talks to Black economic empowerment transaction. Now, our first strategic objective talks about effective participation of HDI, and ICASA will obviously make a significant contribution to this particular development indicator. In terms of Black female managers, I think ICASA has made a contribution to that particular indicator. The other one is on employment. Although we are not directly contributing to persons with disabilities, but our interventions is an indication that we're indirectly supporting you know, that particular community. In as far as safety and security detection rates, we share a lot of notes with the relevant safety and security agencies, and in terms of, for example, monitoring of illegal operators seizing the goods, like cell phone, computer equipment. This is where ICASA plays a significant role, especially at the regional level. Good governance, internally we have all the mechanism of dealing with fraud. We've got a whistleblowing campaign, a declaration system in terms of interest, code of conduct. And in terms of ease of doing business, the eighth strategic objective that talks about promoting competition. This is where ICASA also makes a significant contribution. But as I said, this information has never been filtered through to the Office of the Presidency, so this information is not really known that ICASA is making this particular contribution. Thank you very much.
Thanks, CEO. Over to you, Chairman.
Does anything
that you want to say so that I can give it to members?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we can rest our case now. It is for you to ask questions if you need.
Chair, Honorable members, the platform is yours. Questions, comments, clarities. Thanks. Honorable Killian, Honorable Plebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you also to Mr. Dlamini and to the Chairperson. It is very interesting, Dr. Mkube, and thank you for your introductory remarks. I would just like to preface some questions for further clarification by saying that it is a very well-prepared presentation. However, I just wanted to ask I have some issues with very well-motivated comment for further funding by Mr. Dlamini. In fact, that the fact that he hinted that actually ICASA is maybe an agency of, of South African Revenue Services to bring in some money into the fiscus. But can I just say that there is one problem that I have identified and it may be just the way that it was presented. It's not that ICASA is not necessarily doing it like that. It's just the presentation. Chairperson, I believe that we just lack some further specifics. The reason that I'm saying that is if we look at the strategic objectives, it is good for ICASA to have a list of what should be achieved, you know, the different steps that needs to be taken, etc. But I would like to ask, in many respects, I feel that we lack a focus of the 80-20 principle. In fact, what is wrong out there, and what is the 20% that ICASA should do urgently to have an 80% impact. At this stage, I feel with the entire presentation, I feel it is the opposite. I feel we're getting an 80% presentation, and it might only have a 20% impact in the market. The pyramid is precisely correct, but I feel that if we look at the detail, your strategic objectives are listed, and then there's a weight allocated, and then we have the delivery agent, which is the division within ICASA that is responsible for it. But when we go to the detail, we just have a blanket output. Then we have a performance indicator, broad. It's not really measurable that I can see in all respects. And then we have, in very few cases, we have target dates. And that is a matter of concern. Again, if we look at the industry, if we look at the sector that you need to regulate, the strategic plan makes it abundantly clear that we are lagging behind, that we were in a very good position in 2000. We had 50% of all internet hosts, and more than 50% of all internet subscribers in Africa, and by 2009, South Africa had fallen to the fifth position in Africa. And I think that is a matter of grave concern. So my question to you is, if you really say, if we need to ask you as a committee, five critical steps to really take the communications industry forward, what would that be? I understand the problem that you face with lack of capacity. I really need to also know, I see there is growth in the compensation of employees. You say you want to turn it around. The how is very often very difficult. But what is it that you will do if we give you additional funding for equipment to monitor, etc.? What are the real problems that ICASA is facing? Is it what do you need to do? Is it the local loop unbundling? And then I'm concerned that the date of that is also very late in the year, and some of it is moved over into the next year. If you look at those five critical areas, you know, spectrum allocation, the spectrum plan here, it's good that you go through certain processes, but I sense, maybe it's just only me that feel that, but there's no urgency. And it is a matter that unless that is done quickly and efficiently, we cannot go forward with digital. And that is my concern. So what are the five critical steps that you believe that should be taken? And then we need to know, if you don't have the funding in this budget, I think it's important for you to tell us. We cannot do this as a result of budget constraints. And what is it that you need? Otherwise, it becomes a presentation with a lot of information for the organization, but for us as politicians, it's difficult to determine really, essentially, what is it that you need to move on, and do you have the financial resources and the human resource capacity? Thank you, Jay.
Thanks. Honorable Sebe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also join Honorable Killian in welcoming the presentation by ICASA. Chair, on slide number 11, in terms of your strategic objectives, you are saying number 4, to promote the protection of consumers and accessibility for persons with disabilities. And there, your delivery agent or division is your consumer affairs and regions. My concern there is regions. Simply because during our oversight visit in KZN, we have observed that there's no linkage between your head office and your region. There are problems there. Now, if you are taking this key responsibility to those regions, how are they going to make sure that it happens? Because according to them, in KZN in particular, because that's where we were. It's not function. They are not functioning at regional level. There's no linkage between you and them. If I may quote some of the few things that they've raised, and I think Chair is listening because he also agreed and we promised the employees, instead the employees of ICASA, that during your presentation today, you will also try to deal with some of the issues raised there, because those issues are critical for the smooth running of ICASA. So I'm also worried if nothing is mentioned about those issues, unless you say to us you are not aware, because if those issues are not addressed, then ICASA is in trouble. The other issue is the issue on, if I'm correct, ICASA is saving 7.5 million as a deficit. How are you intending to finance that? If we can share that with us. And the other thing is, the third one is in relation to this strategic plan. How does your employees fit into this strategic plan? Because I think they are the implementers. How do they fit into this strategic plan? And how far are you in addressing the issues raised by the audit committee, if you remember, in regard to the development of the action plan in preparation for the annual audit? Are there any measures in place? If my man says, well, there was a, before the CEO, the new CEO, there was an issue in regard to this concerning the former CEO. How are you dealing with the issue, including issues raised by Auditor General? I think we must have information on this because they are also critical, as they also include matters of finances. We must be also imagining, you know, what is happening there. Among issues during your presentation, you mentioned the issues of safety and security. If you can just tell us, how safe is the confidential documents in our regions? The storage of the confidential documents in our regions. Can you confirm today that you're 100% sure that those documents in all the regions of ICASA, the safety in that regard? And in page, slide number 20, I think it's 20, in regard to 11 official languages in terms of the pamphlets, you also mentioned the complaints manual. I just want to check, this complaints manual, is it also in 11 official languages or is it only in English? The last one is on slide number 29. The last two outputs, we stopped repeating there because it's written, there are no indicators. I just want to show, to be sure, is it deliberate or there's a reason why there's no indicators? All other outputs you have indicators. Why we don't have indicators in those last two on the slide? The last one, Chair, is in regard to the broadband penetration. Centec has a mandate to roll out the national wireless broadband, and again, ICASA wants to increase broadband spectrum from 2% to 20%. How this function does not duplicate the work of Centec? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sir. Only members are participating. Anyone else will be by invitation. But I must welcome the Provincial Director for DEF SA, Mr. Mohammed, and also with your delegation, Agnes Shabuza, Bonga Matitisa, Sindiswa Chochizi, Wiseman Gogo, Campbell Januar. You are most welcome to this meeting. I've indicated that you'll be joining us. We've got quite a number of issues between SAPC and ICASA which relates to deaf people in this country. And so so on. So we are most welcome. I will allow them to respond to the members' questions. We'll see whether we got the time, but if we've got time, we'll give it to you. Also to raise your questions. I know it's an extreme thing to do, but maybe we can try to do that. Mr. Kekane, Honorable Kekane.
Yeah, very briefly, Chair, to add on what she said, when we did oversight, both in Mpumalanga and wherever we went, the feeling we got was that, like the whip did indicate, that communication structure is too top heavy. People are saying the East Head Office, things are centrally done, we understand, but for example, in Mpumalanga, they will say they actually get stuck at times in doing their work simply because something has broken down, and to fix that thing, you need to go to Pretoria Head Office, or you need to make a requisition to Pretoria, and that means time. And their request was that for practical things, or at least if there could be a limitation to that, that says we'll decentralize equipment or anything that is worth, say, up to 1 million or 2 million or 50,000, whatever is suitable, can be done regionally. The requisition can go regionally and be approved there. They just thought if every little thing you've got to run to Pretoria, that paralyzes their own system. So this thing of being top-heavy should be looked at, because it was raised in all areas in different ways. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kekan. We're trying to just check. We'll come back to the issue of deaf SA. We'll just give ICASA to respond to the question. I got a lot of questions. I hope my questions will be covered from questions already asked. If you can do that, then we will come back later.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Honorable members of the Portfolio Committees. All your points are highly well taken. I also appreciate what you have done when you visited our sites. The first thing that we were faced with, you know, at ICASA, was to re-engineer the headquarters first. And in less than 6 months, I can safely say that we are succeeding in doing that. And your point is highly well taken. You know, our regional offices and us in the headquarters is going to be made seamless. And that is why it is very important for us to get this corporate plan approved by yourselves, so that it becomes an umbrella for restructuring, you know, ICASA. Yes. Many councillors have not had even a chance, even the new councillors who have come on board have not even now gone to the regions yet. And our strategy is that eventually some of our councillors are going to be aligned with some of these regions, so that everything must become seamless. But again, it is a process, and we are not there yet, and we know that the sociology of bringing an organization into one fold requires constant, you know, interaction, and that we have not done yet, and some of these things can easily be solved. For instance, with the new technology that is coming in, you know, conferencing. You can be at the headquarters and still hold conferencing with the regional offices. But when you don't have that technology to your disposal, it creates a burden. But I do hope that with what the CEO has elaborated, with this extra amount that you will kindly support us with, it will enable us to modernize ICASA, automate some of our systems, so that regions and headquarters should be a one element. You know, there shouldn't be two separate entities. But we are highly conversant with what you know you have said, and we are going to plow deeper into that, into making this seamless between headquarters and the region. But the scope and magnitude of the work that needed to be done at the headquarters, you couldn't possibly solve the headquarters in less than 6 months of our office. You had a new CEO, you had a new chairmanship, you had three new councillors. All this showed that ICASA's work was slightly unpredictable. But now that we have a very good team of councillors, they are all on board now, and we hope that we could do some team exercises where we can really begin to move to answer those points that you have so wisely observed. And based on the past, when you asked us about budget element, audit element, you were hard on us. We went back and we came back like a shining star. And I can assure you, when we come back, all those points that you have will be answered. Now I will let my colleagues to apply their minds on these other remaining points that you have brought.
Thank you, Chair. In response to the Honourable Killian's questions, first of all, in terms of the divisions responsible for these various outputs, those are listed in the strategic plan itself on pages 18 to 44. They're not in the presentation simply because it would make the slides too crowded. The dates are also listed there, but as you correctly point out, not all dates are listed, and that's because where some dates are specific, we've listed them, where they're on the other hand, where the particular task is required to be done within the particular financial year, we haven't specified a date, we simply put it under that year. On the slide are slides 29 that didn't have dates, any outputs specified, the reason is because, so the lady behind you, the reason is because there's no activity for this year for those two things. They're part of the next 2 years. You asked a very important question. What five most important things would we do if on the 80-20 principle? And I can list them in approximately the following order. Local loop unbundling is considered a high priority by many players, including the minister. And the reason for that is because it is perceived as a way of providing competitive access to the biggest stumbling block to providing access to everyone, namely the local loop. The local loop, in order to implement fully, is in fact the most expensive part of the network. It's an order of magnitude more expensive than building a submarine fiber from here to Europe to do the whole thing. It's a lot. It's a big deal. Second thing is the invitation to apply for the spectrum order for the 2.6 and 3.5 gigahertz bands. These are both very important because they provide they enable us to provide competition, and we therefore enable us to provide access to two things. Provide two things. Firstly, provide access across both on a national basis and a regional basis. Secondly, it allows us to provide access to people who do not have a local loop available. And thirdly, it enables us to the spectrum is such that we can provide reasonably fast broadband, not perhaps the fastest we'd like to, but we can that with the amount of spectrum being offered, we can provide a reasonable amount of broadband to those operators can provide a reasonable amount of broadband. And in order to do that properly, we need to have the spectrum software. We don't have the spectrum software. That's going to cost us about 12 million rand. We also need to
increase our capacity, both in terms of the skills of our staff and in terms of the processes that we automate, such that we can make it easier for our stakeholders to get the results they require from us, to apply for licenses, to find out what spectrum's available and stuff like that, and to submit their compliance reports. So we need the automation and we need the skills. And then finally, the fifth thing we require is the compliance equipment so that we can meet our statutory requirement to do the monitoring, and that represents about 21 million rand. To answer your question, can we do all of this without additional funding? The answer is no.
CEO, before you proceed, let me make follow-up on this matter which has been raised so that I save time to ask later. The issue of unbundling the local loop, I don't think we are all talking one of the same language. We had the department Friday. I'm not sure whether what is here, published local loop unbundling framework, what is stipulated there, talks to the fact that according to the department in November, you will be tabling a report which will further guide the minister on what course of action is going to take. That's what he said. I'm not sure whether it's the same thing. I just want to ascertain because this is a sensitive matter. It can upset even the market. It's not a light matter that people can just talk about anyhow and so on. So I want to ascertain whether what DOC said, that you are only going to provide a report, based on that, then the actual process will start. Because I was basing my question, if you look at the New Zealand, how they've done unbundling of the local loop, you could see that it's not a just play. It's not something that you wake up and say, unbundling local loop, then you go. There is a lot of groundwork you must do. And so, what exactly are you talking about on your deadline? What is it exactly is that? Does it coincide with the DOC one? Or is something else because we must get it right? If we don't get it right here, I don't think there's anywhere else we'll get it right in understanding exactly what exactly we're talking about here. Are we one? Or are you one with the shareholder? Or you've got your independent mind thinking, because sometimes your problem is that you just say you are independent, you are doing it. So we just want to ascertain whether this one is your independent thinking, the shareholder is busy somewhere trying to do other things and so on. Before we see, I just want to get that clarity, what is key for the market and for everyone.
Thank you, Chair. If I can attempt to answer that question, we don't have a shareholder. We're a Chapter 9 institution, but we are working in the same direction as the DOC. Local loop unbundling is a complicated...
No. You see, Councillor Stark,
yes, sir.
You do report to DOC. You have shareholder contact with DOC. There are administrative work done by DOC, so I won't take it if you say you don't have a shareholder at Chapter 9. That is utter wrong. We must correct it here. Because if we leave you not to correct you, you'll continue undermining DOC. So there is a role DOC is playing vis-à-vis ICASA. That's why they're going to develop a performance management system. Okay? So it must be clear. Thank you.
Yes, certainly so. DOC certainly does have a role. The local loop unbundling is already theoretically possible in terms of the facilities leasing regulations. And indeed, we do have a request which from one operator to another operator, which has come before us as a complaint, which we're dealing with at the moment. And this is a process that is just starting. The problem with local loop unbundling is, although it is already theoretically possible, that there are practical difficulties in doing it. And the practical difficulties revolve around the process of applying for an unbundling of a loop, for ordering it, for billing it, for reporting faults with it, for maintaining it, and finally relating to the cost of that unbundled local loop. So on the one hand, one can say you can already do it in theory, not necessarily in practice, And on the other hand, what we're saying is that we're working towards making it possible in practice.
My question is, are you one with DOC? DOC said you will be giving them a report which will be the basis to take a decision moving forward. You are talking about something else here. So what I want, are we talking with one and the same thing? Or is this bridge here, the highway, which has missed the point, which ends up going somewhere, which is here in Cape Town? That's my interest. And it's a simple answer, yes or no. There's no need to go into details.
No, the answer is yes, we are now one with DOC. You see, my minister is smiling at me. And I'm smiling back too.
We are one, but certainly, you know, our lines of communication between DOC and ICASA are now wide open. We even spoke about having a research team that will work, you know, in harmony. We know our role. We are regulators. They know their role. They are the policy formulation elements. And without us making our regulatory elements to be commensurate to policy, then it would be like we are a regulator that is not in South Africa but elsewhere. So to answer your question unequivocally is that we are going to continuously work with DOC, but as a family, there will always be some quarrels here and there, but we will always stay focused to make sure that we are doing it to the interest of South Africa.
Thank you, Chair. I think it is important that we just draw the lines here, because what is fundamental about the role that ICASA is playing is that in terms of the Constitution, you are a Chapter 9 institution. So clearly you have interaction with the Department, but you have to account to Parliament. You do not report to the DOC as other entities are reporting. So I think we must all have that clarity. It's important that there's good communication between your the ICASA and the DOT, but ICASA is not an ordinary entity, and we must respect that role because that is the constitutional role, Section 192 of the Constitution. So I think we have to all have a common understanding of that. Thank you.
We all understand that, but the issue I'm asking is that if a policy department says something else and they regret something else, you need to ascertain what exactly is happening. Because we don't want to deal with the chapter, and we know that, but DOC has got the policy responsibility. If they come here and say something else, then you come here and say something else, surely there's a problem. There's a clash. And we can't pretend that there is no clash because they are Chapter 9 institution. It can't. It's our responsibility to make sure that we harmonize whatever we're doing as a country. Honorable Gagan.
Lord Chair, you know I'm a new member here. I just want to check when ICASA says, as a family, at times they'll be disputed. With families, yes. But here, this is a different animal, not a family, actually, because my understanding is that DOC makes formulate policy, but here the executors of that policy implement. So if you are implementing policy by means of regulation, how do you quarrel? We can quarrel at the level of policy because we are different parties. We have different views on the best way how to do policy. That would be our quarrel. But if you've got to execute by regulating, by just putting that into regulation, act of law and so on, and policies ready-made for you, what type of quarrel are you anticipating? Unless if you want to make policy and DOC make policy and policies clash, then that I can understand. But if you are implementing policy by regulation, why should there be a tiff in the family? When children know them, I just go to school.
through you, Chair.
Honorable McCarthy.
Chair, my question will be around on LLO. In the foreword of the CEO and the chairperson, they've talked about access to universal services. And at the very same time, Chair, I want just to take stock, because when you say in a statement, ICASA, you stand for to provide access, yes.
Are you making follow-up on LLU? Because I interrupted them, they have to respond to your question. I was making follow-up on LLU.
I want to also, when they respond to your question and also respond.
If it's a new question, you can keep it. We're coming to the second round. Now we're dealing with LLU.
Okay.
Then they must respond to the other question.
Okay.
I will allow Councillor Sokriqua to just add value to what we have said so far.
Chairman, just a direct response to your question. ICASA has realized in our discussions with DOC that there are instances of overlap. We have set up a committee that is going to be working with a committee within DOC to do the alignment so that we don't have duplication of efforts within DOC and within ICASA. So going forward, what we call the alignment team is to meet to iron out these issues. Thank you, Chairman.
That should have served a lot of things if you have answered immediately when I was asking that question. You can proceed with the other answers. Oh, sorry, the Deputy Minister wanted to come in. Welcome, Honorable Obed Fabel. I never say comrade, you see. But Honorable Killen gave me that right that I can call you comrade even here. He's also a comrade, but in hope. No, that's why. CCM.
I will not jump into your question. Thanks, Chairperson. I think that the answer has been now been given, as you just acknowledged, that it should have come earlier. And then I think with respect that ICASA is an independent organization that executes its mandate independently, however, operating within a policy framework. And I think that's the understanding that has been also given here. But obviously, in the realignment, we have agreed that there are quite a number of areas that will need some kind of a realignment within that policy space, because even the legislation that establishes an expression of policy to reinforce what the Constitution says in terms of its independence. And that's our understanding. And therefore, it's not an interference by the DOC, but then it's just to say the policy is there, there's a law, and then in the execution of that particular law, being that authority, there are elements that will from time to time emerge and that needs further discussions and refinement. And Honorable Denige Gani, therefore it is in that element of either misunderstandings that may come as a result of interpretation of the law itself, that from time to time there will be engagements, not arguments. I don't know how, they shouldn't have been use the word arguments, it's more engagements. That will from time to time in the refinement. And those things, obviously, they then come back to Parliament, which is a public forum for debate, in whatever is the way forward. Yes, indeed, we have agreed on that particular realignment. Yes, thanks.
Thank you. Over to you, Chair, to continue the other responses.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Honorable Minister, for coming to rescue us. This is the first time you rescue us. I hope you'll continue unabatedly. Anyway, let's go on what?
Thank you, Chair, and Honorable Members. Can we in closure to some of the questions that were raised by the Honourable Member around the capacity with respect to the regions. In my outline, I did indicate that there's a starting point. The starting point is to first have a strategic, corporate strategy, and then the corporate strategy will be the framework in which regions can then execute their particular mandate. So we have at least reached that particular stage to say that once the corporate strategy has been endorsed by yourself, we'll then go to the regions and discuss the strategy and also look at the role of the different managers in those particular regions. The issue around centralization vis-a-vis decentralization and top-heavy, we have procedures in place, but obviously...
Chairperson, can I interject to what I've just listened to the CEO in terms of the strategy? I just want to get it clarity. CEO, the question is the ICASA strategy being formed by the regions? And if I'm hearing you well, you are saying that strategy, you are going to take the strategy to the regions after we have approved or after we've looked at strategy. That means it's then that the regions, they will input in that strategy. And if that is the case, CEO, I think it should be vice versa, because your strategy should actually start at the bottom and move up, should be informed by the region. Because it's strategy, it's a high-level document. So you can't have a document that it's not informed by your region in different provinces. But if I'm wrong, correct me. But this is what I've heard in the process.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe I did not elaborate as to how we arrived at a corporate strategy. If one looks at the organogram of the organization, you have a regional manager who's overseeing the regions. And before the strategy was formulated to its current format, there has been interaction with the regions, and input has been provided through the regions via the senior manager responsible for regions. So there has been that kind of consultation. In fact, prior to the actual formulation of this particular strategy, I have also met with the regions to, as a precursor, to indicate to them how we are going to start doing things in ICASA. And that was early in December, before we actually formulated a strategy. So there has been a consultation with the region, and also indicating to them what is it that they should expect. Now, in my response today, we are going to go back and interact with the regions, was basically to indicate to them that, well, this is what we have made, this is the input that we have made, and this is the actual product, and this is how we have to now, implement the content of this particular product. So, and my apology if I have not explained it in that fashion. In terms of the issue around the audit plan and all that, I think we have, I'm not sure the exact date, but it was somewhere in February where we tabled a report on all AG matters and the interventions that we have put forward in those in those issues that the AG has raised. We even went to an extent of emphasizing that although we argued that 95% of the AG related matters were dealt with, the 5% was actually the biggest one, and it was around revenue and spectrum management. I think we are on record that we have highlighted that. So we have done some work in as far as that is concerned. On safety of classified document, we have a records management policy framework which governs how all sensitive documents, confidential, and so forth, are being managed at the regional level and also at the head office level. So unless the policy is not implemented in its totality, perhaps we can look at those particular gaps. But there is a framework that guides us in terms of managing a classified document. In terms of the compliance manual, is it in all, I think it's on, is it on all 11 languages? The answer is no, it's not in all 11 languages. The intention is to go into that particular phase of ensuring that we address all our clients using the 11 official languages. Yeah. And then I will ask my CFO to just talk briefly on the deficit question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. On the deficit area, due to the shortage of funds, we had to look or use some other means to actually to fund that deficit. One is on the interest accrued, that's the interest that we get on the favorable bank balance. And the second one is on the depreciation, which is on cash basis. And we had the deferred income, which was the previous policy, on accounting policy. That policy was actually changed when CRAP was actually amended. So on those two areas, which is the previous deferred income, which actually went to the reserve, and the interest, so that's where that deficit would be actually be funded. Thanks, Chair.
Are you done with questions to respond?
Can we break for tea? We'll be back in 10 minutes.
There was a question on Centec, and I
said... let's break for tea. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Chairperson, I stop you once you are trying to say something, then we adjourn for the tea. We are back. What were you saying?
Thank you, Chair. I said the questions that were asked were so pertinent, and I think we're able to plow through them. But remember, we still have the other presentations that we must highlight for you, the election component. And I know you are pressed for time. So if our honorable members are through with questions, maybe we can proceed to make this brief presentation on election. And I know it's a very pressing matter, and if you allow us to do that, we will appreciate that.
We want to do that, Chair. But you see the problem that when you are asked what are your top priorities, five of them, then you list them. When you are asked to have on this budget, to have money to fund them, you say no. And we're dealing with budget, yes. What does that mean? If someone can just respond. Because you see, you are asked about your five top priorities. You respond, you are asked to have the budget to fulfill them. The answer is no. And we're dealing with budget. Yeah, don't you think that it will be irresponsible for the committee? Ignoring five important priorities, which is a do or die, which are unfunded or
not adequately unfunded at this point. And that maybe there was something wrong about that statement. But as we stand now is that you don't have funding for your top five priorities, but like dealing with budget.
Thank you, Chair. I think you are correct. The budget that we reflected, as I said, is basically to keep us afloat, meaning that to be brutally frank, we can say that the funds are not really adequate to even deal with those five priorities. So that is the reality that we are faced with, and I've then indicated that there'll be probably a window opportunity to engage the DOC through with National Treasury to seek additional funding for those particular five priorities.
Thanks, CEO. The difficulty that I'm having is that you don't have adequate funding for your priority five, but you've got other allocated funds somewhere else to certain things. Why don't you take your resources and focus on the top five? And then the other things, then are the things which are going to motivate for funding and so on. But you are saying your top five. The government's got top five priorities. If you look in terms of the budget, which has been put to the top five priorities for government, it's clear that there is seriousness and the budget talk to that. Now, my problem is that we don't have adequate to your top five, but you've got other money allocated for other things which you are not consolidating to boost your top five and then make the other things to be the one where you need additional money. So that's the dilemma.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think what when I was giving the illustration of the reallocation, I did indicate that that's one area where we will obviously revisit our plan and go through a reprioritization exercise. The same would apply with the top five, meaning that we will obviously look at what are those activities or deliverables that we think we can postpone for the subsequent years and then do some bit of reprioritization. I think the statement was in that slide.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to say, Chair, I think we must just be clear to say the reallocation of your budget must mainly focus on the five key priorities, must be given the first preference when you reallocate. But Chair, I have, I think, two follow-up questions. From there, I have questions. I think there are eight that I would like to ask on behalf of the deaf people. The other one is in regard to the issues as raised by the Risk Committee or the AG. I do understand the issue of the 100%, and now it's 5%, and 5% has been implemented. And I know that you have accounted. You have given us the report. I know that. My question maybe is just that I didn't become specific to say the 5%, because there's a 5% remaining in terms of the implementation. That how far are you in dealing with the 5% in regard to AG's report or the audit committee report? I'm referring to the 5% remainder for your AG's report. That is in regard to revenue and spectra. And the other issue is in regard to the classified documents. That the CCOO having a policy and facing the reality down there is two different things. I do understand that you are saying you have a policy. But what we have seen and what we have been told in KZN in particular is that there's no storage, or if there's a storage, there's no safety for classified information, confidential documents. That's why I'm trying to be specific at what I'm talking about. That we have to do a follow-up in regard to KZN, because they were very much worried. You might have a policy, but just do an assessment throughout our regions that if really there's security for those important documents. The third follow-up is in regard to my question related to Senteka, unless it was responded when I was outside. But during my presence, I didn't hear anybody responding to the issue of the mandate of Senteka versus what ICASA is doing. Or should I repeat the question?
Okay. Question.
You got it.
Okay, I will ask Councillor Sotiqua to respond on...
I'm not done.
Oh.
There is one chairperson. Once you try to chair, you will mess it up. There's one chair and the chair is here.
Those
so anyone who speaks must speak through me. Otherwise, you're going to mess up my meeting. Honorable sir.
Thank you, Chair. Those three are my follow-up questions. Now, if you allow me, Chair, just to go through the questions as requested by my comrades, that's fine. The first one is that, what are the really access for disabilities? Because ICASA has never seen or do something for people with disabilities. Only show in public with disabilities, but no implementation so far. The second one is about the 11 languages. What about South African Sign Language? We, the deaf people, do not gain full access information where we are always last to find. We are always last to find the information after broadcasting. In regard to complaints, their question is that most of the staff promises to return the consumer complaints, but not happening. That caused the lack of communication. Employment for disabilities. Very few disabilities have steady and professional job where most ICASA does not really care for disabilities. Protection. Do not see why need protection to see accessible, because without access, why need protection? Public phones, SMSs, emails. Deaf public does not have access to public phones where need to create technology to SMSs from public phones. SMS need to reduce the cost of charge, which we, the deaf and disabilities, cannot afford. High rates need to reduce the cost. Where are the access for disabilities in South Africa in emails, SMSs, and TV? The last one, Chair. Where are the access to call the police, doctors for help? Deaf and other disabilities do not have access to get help when need urgent assistance. Most disabilities are independent. ICASA need to create access and communication for deaf, blind, and all other disabilities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. We will start first with Centec because it's a smaller one, and then get into the many questions on disabilities, which are highly relevant. But we will get first to the Centec one.
Thank you, Chairman. On the issue of Centec, as far as we are aware, that there's no conflict. We've had extensive engagement with Centec. And with specific reference to broadband with regards to 2.6, Centec had in fact committed to move to the center band. So as far as we are aware, there's alignment between us and Centec.
When it comes to the questions of persons with disabilities, you have rightfully serialized a lot of concerns that came out. What we have done with that, we visited the 9 provinces, we had consultative approach in the 9 provinces, which culminated into a summit which was held in Boksburg, I believe. And for those days, we had over 200 people, persons of, you know, with disabilities, you know, participating in that summit. And the outcome of that summit was a resolution. And in those resolution, I think all those points that you have raised are, you know, entertained, you know, in that. I do hope that as soon as the summit outcome is packaged for publication, we'll make sure that you get a copy of that. Even Councillor
I mean, Honorable Kekane participated in that, and we really cherish some of the input that he made in that summit. And I know that the outcome of summit will never make the area to be in a state of homeostasis again. You are going to see a lot of activities that are bound to come out as a result of that summit, because even the manufacturers of these gadgets participated in this summit. So we are all looking forward to the final report, and we do hope that we'll be able to share it with your honorable portfolio committee members. So if you could just be a bit patient with those questions, I'm sure you will find that they are answered systemically in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Any other questions so that we can go to the election presentation? Honorable Killen and Honorable Magaz.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask ICASA if they can give us an indication. On slide 16, it is evident that you are currently revising the DVB-T2 regulations. Can you perhaps give us an indication of time? When will it be through the revision, and when would the revised regulations be published? Thank you very much for that. And then on the next slide, slide 17, you have also listed some of your achievements, some of the monitoring, broadcasting, local government elections, etc., compliance manual. You have indicated that you have resource constraints, financial constraints, that you need additional equipment. How do you currently do it? Is it with outdated equipment? What is it that you're using to do the monitoring at the current stage? Then I also just wanted to ask about the impact, regulatory impact assessment. It is on slide 34, it should be. It's strengthen and modernize ICASA, strategic objective 7. You're saying that it is important that you formulate a regulatory impact assessment framework. Do you have the funding in the current budget, or would that also be necessitate an intervention through the adjustment appropriations bill? How will you do that? Because I do believe it's important that we know what is the impact of ICASA on the sector. And then the last question, Chair, is on page, well, it's actually on slide 35. If we look at the back of the presentation, there were certain risks that were listed, and actually very key risks that were listed that is of a concern, risks to achieving strategic objectives. And those actually pose a very serious risk, I would argue, for ICASA's rollout of its strategic objectives. That is on page 49. But if you look at page 35, you're saying that you want to, in the current year, you want to develop a coherent risk strategy and you want to implement it. Does it mean that you don't have, at this stage, a coherent risk strategy? And how do you intend to address the risks that you listed on slide 49? Because some of those will really make your lives very difficult as ICASA. If I look at the issue of the resistance to performance management framework, etc., how will you ameliorate those risks? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Maka.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, looking at the ICASA plan, I just want to, you know, to ask the ICASA in terms of new license spectrum. Because in one, I don't know whether it's a forward, but there is a slide where they are talking about they are going to empower and offer access to services to the HDI. And my question is that, are all the new spectrum licenses going to be subjected to the HDI by ICASA? And what informs the ICASA program? And also, Chair, if you look at the DOC strategic plan, specifically on the DOC infrastructure, there is an overlap on the DOC infrastructure and the ICASA. And I think what we need as a portfolio committee is the clear demarcation of objectives between the DOC and ICASA. Because to me it sounds as if there is an overlap on this and everybody's planning around this area on the rollout of infrastructure. So we need to be clear about the objective of each entity between ICASA and the DOC. Let me stop there.
Thank you. Welcome, Tandy. I was told that you are not well. So I hope you get well. Chair, those are the questions. But we might not have another time to take another question. Maybe let me ask you my question also. Because I was only following up. I didn't ask you questions. The first question is that when we had USAFA yesterday, they came with a bold vision. And we are thankful to them because for the first time, anyone since we have started the hearing has come out clear about what they want to do. Their bold vision was 2020 universal access will be achieved in South Africa. Whether you want to buy into that is something else, but that is something which we are determined to run with so that, because I think that helped us to focus, because everyone else, even yourself, if you look at your strategy, you are not clear when the universal service access will be achieved in the South Africa. They're not clear. They're just talking about in a statement. But you are not quantifying to say 2050 or and so on, we will have achieved that. Which means that your then regulatory direction is also somehow not definite. Because we don't have a definite objective. So you are dealing with something which, as it comes, but you don't know where you want to be. I know the WISIS and the MDGs, that might be the yardstick and so on, but we have never had any of you, including DOC, boldly say universal service access at this point. That happened yesterday. Now, that's one issue which I just wanted to raise. But that bold statement was running short of saying universal service access on what? Because now we've got broadcasting. And for people who, since whatever time, they are dreaming about TV.
And in your strategy, I don't hear you talking about the universal service of people having access to broadcasting. You are quiet. I don't know whether SABC, when they come, they will deal with that. But you are also in the responsibility for universal service access as a cut. That's why we touch obligations and the other things. But you are quiet, I don't think, around those particular issues and so on. So that's one issue I wanted to raise to say, in your view, when a special broadcasting, because what you suffered did was not specific what exactly. But what they told us is that every South African will be able to make a call or to receive and do all those sort of things come 2020. That's one thing, but you must just, if you have some way of understanding, when are we going to have the universal coverage of broadcasting as a country? Because currently no one is coming with that. Everyone else is talking about universal access indefinite. There's no cut off. I don't think as a country if we are serious about ourselves, we can make statements which are not definite. We are not targeting anything. Just no sweeping statements and so on. I think that time has come to must have come to an end. We need clear targets and so on, so that we are able to move and so on. But that's one thing which I would want you to deal with it and so on. The second issue is that part of what you are doing here, you are dealing with the issue of spectrum. You want to check who's where, doing what with the spectrum, and how do you... Just a pertinent question. Do you also issue out a tender for the same, more or less the same thing of 14 million? You are doing it. The duplication part, I'm sure that's what you'll be harnessing. The issue of harnessing will come in. Because they issue a tender for 14 million on the work which is done by you, because are you so incapable of providing the DOC information in such a way that they go for a 14 million tender of the taxpayer's money? I'm sure you've seen the tender newspaper. Is the issue you are so unable to provide the DOC information in such a way that the DOC must spend 14 million taxpayers' money on the information which is with you? Which I don't know the service provider they will get, how they are going to get the confidential information for the operators because it's with you. But nevertheless, the tender is out for 14 million. So I just want to clarify that we are also dealing with the issue of spectrum. They are dealing with that issue at the cellular level, what exactly is happening and so on, around that particular issue. The other one, Chair, which I would like us, I want you to help us with that. Some of these operators, big as they may be, making billions, but they have not complied with the BE quota. I'm talking about your telecom, the big ones. The last time I checked, they have not yet complied with that. What role do you have as ICAS? Or what measures are you putting in so that they comply? It can be that people, for the past, I don't know how many years, some of them, they have not even passed 10%. They are still trying and so on and so on. But what is it which you do at your level as a regulator to make sure that there is absolute compliance with that and so on? If it's within your scope, or you can be able to do something around that particular matter so that we clarify it. I was also interested here on the issue of the CCC because for me, I think we've got a problem in the current arrangement of the CCC. I thought it's one issue which you are looking into. But I think the organizational design and the modernization of ICAS, I assume that it might be a matter which can be covered there. If it's covered there, I'll be comfortable. Chair, I appreciate that you got your universal service access obligation being reviewed. But you see, Chair, I'm just asking that, are you not supposed to prioritize that? Because I'll tell you why. Currently, these operators have got obligations, some of them, to provide these telephone containers all over the world. And some of those things, they are no longer in use because we have moved from voice to data. And those obligations, we're focused on voice. Now what is working is data now most of the time.
Now, I know, I respect that you are reviewing it, but I think, I'm just asking, is it not should have been the priority? And the second question around that is that, how do you handle those things now? Are you still trying to enforce those operators to continue providing SIM cards which you can get at 0 cents now, or 1 cent in other areas, as their obligation you attached some time ago? Those were supposed to provide SIM cards and the other things and so on. But how are you handling it now, as we speak, whilst you are undergoing the review process? Or because it will, like, to a certain extent, you are wasting taxpayers' money trying to enforce something with absolute in terms of the impact, which is making in terms of the universal service. But I just want to understand. But I thought that review should be one of your priorities, but it's not part of your 5 priorities, and so on, the other thing. The last thing, Chair, is around the signal distribution. I don't know what you want to do there, because every day community broadcasters are closed down because they can't afford the tariff. And the legislation is prescriptive to say you should have there should be a differentiation in terms of tariff. I appreciate what you are doing, the work you are trying to do, but as we speak, community radios and broadcasters are closing down. They don't have money to pay. They don't have a deep pocket to pay. Now, maybe we must enter into what did you call the one, the operators, moral? Maybe we must get to moral suasion to Centec before you finalize this process. But I want to see a process where you start to engage Centec so that we deal with the issue of signal distribution tariffs. It can be that government come with a noble idea which is defeated by lack of attention to deal with the issue of tariffs. People are closing down. It's a cancelling fact. You try this, it's cancelling this other side and so on. But I know that you need to go your processes on, but I think we need action as yesterday in terms of how to deal with things. So that's why I was talking about the moral situation, which was fine with operators, which didn't work to a certain extent, is that you engage on that particular matter, if possible, so that that thing come as early as yesterday, because they are closing down and so on. I think those are the issues, Chair, which I wanted to raise so that maybe we are clarified to a certain extent in terms of how do we move and the other things. And so, Chair, you can respond to the other questions and my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Those 5 questions that you asked are highly relevant to us, even though they may not appear in the 5 top list. All what you have mentioned here is an ongoing process. Starting with the universal declaration that 2020 is their deadline to have all that done, we certainly agree in that we have been working on the definition on universal element to first define what universalism means, and we have been doing this in collaboration with universal people, and heuristically we have not yet done what amounts to futures invention in ICASA, and this is one research which I think needs to be embarked on. The last time a study on ICT was done on futuristic endeavor was conducted by Foresight, and I happen to be an eminent person in that ICT space. This was done for 5 years, looking ahead 5 years, and after that, that Foresight program was never revisited. But if users have information that informs them about 2020, certainly we will have to buy in you know, provided we are provided with that study. And fortunately, Chair, our lines of communication with Universal colleagues is wide open, and we will continue to engage them on that. But we're not going to carelessly simply say 2020, that priority will be met. We have to make sure that the method that they applied to reach to that point is something that can be empirically, you know, proven. So I can safely say that 2020 is fine with us, provided we are going to provide that information so that we can also buy in wholeheartedly. Now, coming to the spectrum component and the BEE element, I will ask Councillor Mashet to elaborate on those two. And then the last will be CCC. I can either answer it or get one of my councillors here to answer that.
Before Councillor Masha, you ask, you've got 10 minutes to answer all the questions. We have to take the next presentation. So no speeches, just answer questions.
Thank you, Chairman. With regards to the BEE quotas, we've encountered a glitch in the legislation in the ECA. We are drafting recommendations to Minister so that glitch can be attended to, but with immediate effect, we have ensured that the spectrum licensing framework imposes a 30% HDI so that the operators who want all the nice spectrum align with the BEE framework of the Act. Thank you, Chairman.
DCC.
GMHR is currently busy with the organizational review, and we'll certainly incorporate the CC element there, but we'd also want to submit proposals in the ECA on addressing the restructuring of the CCC. Because currently they are temporary members, not full-time members, and it does obscure the pace at which we work. With regards to the USO framework, we hope to publish it this year. It's been a rather difficult exercise, Chairman, but just to give you a very brief response, we've had engaged with the license conversion process. We encountered that the operators were continuing as per the old framework. We excluded the provisions that they had met, and the new provisions we are going to try and correct because they've expressed problems with approvals for digging up roads, etc. So we thought we'd have a proper infrastructure engagement with the provincial authorities so that we do an alignment so that the operators don't repeat all the complaints that they have around rolling out networks. With regard to the signal distribution, we published a framework already for the review of the prices, obviously currently being used by Centec. We hope to that projects will be completed by the end of this financial year, but we commenced with it last year. And unfortunately, we're following the Chapter 10 processes, which are, by their nature, not short.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to bring closer to some of the questions. One was around the monitoring compliance, the equipment thereof. And the answer to that question is that the unfortunate situation is that we are using old equipment. We are still relying on a manually driven process, and that is a challenge and also a risk I think we have identified in one of the risk areas. So that will continue to be a risk until some time that we come up with an intervention to that extent. On RIA was a process that was started initially. We've just resuscitated it for this new year, and we will use our own resources to kickstart the process, and at some stage where we will probably need additional funding, that is an argument that we'll put forward when the adjustment period comes in with DOC and National Treasury. The issue around what informs our strategy quickly, we did outline the outcomes 6 and output 1 and 5. So that is basically the pillar of our strategy. Notwithstanding the fact that we also look at, you know, national priorities in terms of where the ICT sector is going and also the contribution in terms of economic growth. So that is basically what informs our strategy. And then the issue around disability, I just want to share with the member quickly that your modern cell phones do have a facility for text to speech and vice versa. So that facility is there. Perhaps maybe it's a question of popularizing because people may not necessarily be aware of it. But I think based on the report that will come from the National Summit, we will be able to draw all the pertinent issues and then, put them in a particular sequence in terms of addressing them. Some of them can be addressed immediately. Some will obviously be long-term issues that we need to address. Thank you. And then the last one on the, Chair, the issue about the strategic coherence risk strategy. The answer is we don't have a coherent risk strategy. We are just in the process of first, because we went through an exercise of identifying key strategic risk of the organization, and then obviously go through another exercise of going through all issues pertaining to risk management, risk register, and so forth. So we are basically at the beginning of that particular phase, and perhaps in the next year we'll be able to report fully on a matter of this nature. And in KZN, we have taken note of the issues, and then obviously when you go back to the drawing board, we'll try to address those issues. So we take note of those concerns.
And the last one, Chair, which you asked, you know, regarding the 14 million tender, I think councillors would try and answer that one.
Thank you, Chair. On the 14 million tender, yes, we saw the publication of the tender. We are in discussions with DOC because we've been doing annual audits. We've been publishing those on our website. What we'll do is we compile a comprehensive document and share it with DOC. But we have been conducting ongoing spectrum for the last 3 or 4 years since this particular portfolio committee raised the issue. So that was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Thank you. Our only concern is 14 million for taxpayers' money, unnecessarily. That's why I'm saying if someone can justify that you are so incompetent to provide that information, one will be at ease. But if you are so competent to provide the information, but you can go to 14 million 10, there's a problem somewhere. So, DM.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say the discussions are going on and there's no expenditure as yet. It does not even reach to that level where 40 million rand is going to be spent. And once that issue was out in the public space, indeed, you know, those consultations started. And we hope, therefore, that will be a way out
arising out of those particular discussions, in the realignment discussions between the DOC and Centec. And I think you also could remember that there was another tender on the auditing of the broadband in the country. It was canned by the minister to say, let's can it and then find a way, an approach of engaging all the role players who are investing in the broadband and see if we cannot get the information that we'll still need as a department, you know, from the operators, unless then obviously their challenges are difficult, then we'll deal with those particular challenges and difficulties at that particular point. Then the issue that I also wanted to raise was when the CEO was reporting about they are collecting money and then taking it to Treasury within 30 days, the chair was already pointing at me and then say it's the DOC, yeah, the chair of the... So it's in the law, and what Centec, what ICASA is doing, it's implementation of the law. Section 15 bracket of ICASA says within 30 days after collecting, pass on the money. So you are a disciplined state organ that does its work diligently. So it's not me or the minister doing that. It's the law that says it has to happen that way. So if members have a problem, obviously the law is passed by parliament, and then it is this parliament that passed that law that things should be as they are. And but yes, I do take concerns raised by Honorable Killian that your program, you know, as is indeed, is very ambitious and with good intentions to fulfill your mandates. But unfortunately, the resources then that are needed to fulfill on that are limited to themselves. And then obviously, there is quite a number of resolutions out in the nation that needs to be engaged in terms of the strengthening of ICASA and SABC, which has not yet been tested even by Parliament itself, in terms of what is the funding model that we think are the best going forward for ICASA, for Centec, and also for SABC. And then those resolutions are there that could then be refined through processes in Parliament, and I hope therefore at a particular point in time we'll do so that even the funding models that have been proposed by all these agencies, you know, ICASA is proposing, Centec was there, they also spoke about funding model, and everybody are informed by a particular discussion as refined by a nation. And therefore Parliament has an opportunity of really engaging on those particular resolutions out there in the nation that have not yet been processed and refined here. And I hope therefore that it's about time that indeed we take on board on those particular issues and on the rolling out of the network, which is my last point, indeed the municipalities are complaining. They've written also to the DOC. It's something that we will have to together with entities, particularly CASA, and really respond to those particular issues, because everyone wakes up, digs the roads, and then they don't want to co-share on that particular infrastructure. And then I think if the law is limited itself, I'm not sure, we'll have to look at that particular environment. But municipalities are already saying enough is enough, and yet we need this critical infrastructure at the same time to be rolled out so that people can have access to broadband services. As you will know, that we are only sitting at 11% as a country. We are supposed to be at 50% by 2050 when we go for international review at the United Nations World Summit on Information Society. The country should be sitting at 50%, but we are still lagging behind. We hope, therefore, that with the new leadership in the DOC, we are quite resolved that we'll indeed have to tackle this particular issue so that we bring all and then we can be able to then go with a dignified number during the review. Thank you.
Thank Deputy Minister. Honorable Magazi, we need to close, that your hands was up.
Chair, no, I was, because you were wrapping up, I was going to make a request, Chair, that it is clear that in terms of the infrastructure, can the family, that is the entities, the DOC, ICASA, USASA, NEMISA, communicate? Can these four players integrate their plan? If you look at all what they've planned around the infrastructure, clearly, Chair, there is a duplication. This is what I am requesting. Align your plan. Some of the entities, actually, there are things that they are going to implement. Yes, those things are in the priorities, but that's not their core business. But they do have in this in their strategic plan. So what I'm indicating here, Chair, next time it won't be easy for entities because we will go deeper and deeper in terms of engaging in strategy. So can they please use this opportunity now when they plan for next year on strategic plan and then they do care, they communicate. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thanks, Chairperson. CEO, councillors who are here, your staff, the Office of Institutions Supporting Democracy in Parliament, Advocate, Deaf SA, and all of you who have managed to come here. We need to go to the election thing quick. I hope it's not a long presentation. So that we deal with that. But I must say, I take a point which has been raised by Member Magazi that I think what we need to do is that after this process, which we are running off budget, we recommend that the OC maybe must call all the entities same time under one roof with their strategic plan and everything to realign all of them. So that they talk to each other. I don't think it's an issue which we can take up with you, but it's a broader issue which I think as a committee would recommend to the department that that needs to happen and so on, so that you are able to harmonize your plans and the other things. We minimize the duplication and the other things. But otherwise, thanks very much for your strategic plan. But you owe us. You said you are going to reprioritize and reprioritize even the allocation of funds according to your top five. So we need to see that before us. We are going to recess. We are coming back after election. But we'd love to have that document probably as soon as you can. Not when we are back, before we come back. We need to see your realignment, your reallocation of funds and so on in terms of your priorities, because if you don't do that, it may mean that you are not taking serious what you think is your priority because of allocation. But otherwise, thank you very much. We can go for the election. I'm reminded about the issue of LLU. My take on the issue was that you are busy realigning and harmonizing discussion with DOC. Until when that process is finalized, we need to be reported to, because we need certainty in the market about the policy direction about LLU. It can't be hanging. Certainty is needed in the market for investors and the other things and so on. So we take it that when that process is finished, then we'll be able to be given definitely what exactly as a country we are moving forward around the policy issue of LLU. Thanks. Elections.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll try and be as quick as possible. The framework that we're using for the monitoring of the elections and the allocation of airtime in elections is based on Section 36, 37, 58, Chapter 9 of the ECA, which provides the framework for party election broadcasts, which are paid for, which are free, and political advertisements, which are paid for during the election. And then we are also guided by Section 54.1 of the ECA, which requires the authority to provide a code of conduct for broadcast service licensees. Just to quickly refresh, the party election broadcasts are free of charge, political content free of charge, put on the national broadcasters, either radio or television. And then the political advertisements are paid for, and also an option to put it on the radio or television national of the national broadcaster. In terms of the allocation, PB shall be broadcast on SABC and TV stations, 25 community and 33 commercial broadcast radio stations, all of whom have volunteered to assist with the election period. And we have we are going to gazette the election period to start as of effect 24 April to run up until 15 May 2011. 15 May is 2 days before polling as per the legislation. The allocations are 4 per day on the national broadcaster, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6 o'clock. We were dealing with these allocations yesterday. Each political party gets a minimum of one slot, which is 2 minutes, and then additional slots are based on the number of seats confirmed by the IEC. We, in fact, got the total number of seats details at 1,600 hours on 18 April. Then the second piece of legislation, which then allows us to monitor what is broadcast, is the Code of Conduct pertaining to broadcasters, and this runs even through the election period. As a consequence, we've appointed additional 25 temporary staff members who then monitor television and radio throughout the election period to ensure that we're able to look at particularly the listed issues, that is violence, hate speech, news, controversial issues pertaining to public interest, dignity and reputation on television during the election period. So we have these 25 officials who then look at this, and we next slide. We then publish a report which covers the entire election period based on the PAs, PEBs, and the current affairs programs and how they've assisted with the provision of a fair and free election. We've also told all the political parties that they must submit their complaints within the 48-hour turnaround space, and as an authority, we will assist as much as possible to ensure that the complaints are held within 48 hours through the ECCC. So, in short, Chairman, that's the framework that we use to guide our work during the election period.
Thank you. Maybe if you can explain 2 minutes per party, then the proportionality comes in. What does that mean exactly? In a layman language. I'll tell you why I'm asking, because when you open your TV, you see political parties shown there. Others are given space to talk. Others you only see the crowd, but they don't talk. They proceed with other things. What does that mean? Just a practical, what does that mean? Because... so, no, you see, I think every party's got a problem. Because I've got issues for the ANC. Where when it comes to the ANC, crowd has just shown no one talk, but the other parties are talking. And the ANC, there's no message, nothing. You just see the crowd, you see the person who was there for the ANC, then it goes. But other parties are talking. You see? So I think all of us have got problems, but I need you to explain 2 minutes per party, then proportionality. How does it work? Because
I can assure you I'm inundated with hundreds, if not thousands, of messages when that happened. People trying to understand why other people, they can't even speak. Only crowds are shown and so on. How is this thing being handled exactly? Maybe if you can explain the 2 minutes and the proportionality, what exactly does that mean?
I'll respond and break my response into three pieces. The first piece, the 2 minutes allocation, as per the IEC, there are 121 registered political parties. And we decided this year that every single political party is going to be seen on television within a two-minute slot or be heard on radio within a two-minute slot on either Radio RSG, Radio 2000, or SAFM. Those are the SABC's national radio stations. In addition to that, every political party in every region will have access to the regional broadcast of SABC. And SABC has 11 regional broadcasters. So each of them will also dedicate 2 minutes to every registered political party. This has not been done before. Now, the additional airtime is then based on the surplus minutes contrived from giving after 2 minutes to every party. So if we imagine that 2 minutes times 121 political parties is a certain set of minutes, and then the remaining, the surplus, is then calculated based on your number of seats, and that's in line with the Constitution, proportional representation. We then look at the number of seats, and we've had debates with all the election political parties, and we agreed that the seats we will look at are the most recent seats, not the 2006 elections, not the 2009 elections, the most recent. And as a result, we worked with the results verified by the IEC as of 18 April, 1600 hours. And in terms of those results, we then computed the seat allocation. And yes, political parties are unhappy with them because obviously it means that those who have the most seats are going to get the most airtime. But that is the law, and we are simply implementing the law. And then at the third level, what's been happening is that up to now, what you've been seeing on television has really been within the control of the SABC, not ICASA, because ICASA's election broadcast period only starts with effect of 24 April. As effect of 24 April, we'll be monitoring the news content of SABC, the current affairs program of SABC, and see if the SABC is assisting with the evolution of a fair and free election. So our reports and monitoring and our work really only start from 24th April. So the SAB has been on, what you've been seeing on television is the SABC still operating on its own turf outside our legislative framework. So that's the only reassurance I can give all the political parties is that as of 24 April, those minutes then have to be captured on television, and not in terms of seeing, but in terms of the political content you as a political party have given to the SABC. So if you've given voice content to the SABC, it must be broadcast as such by the SABC. It cannot be edited by the SABC, it cannot be manipulated by the SABC, and it has to be shown within the gazetted slot, and that gazette will appear on our website within the next day or two. To assist political parties and to assist the SABC, we are going to send that gazetted document to them so that they do not work outside the allocated framework.
If you say you mean SABC, also mean the free-to-air. That so far, free-to-air, they are not part of the regulation for political parties?
No, Chairman. It is just the SABC and all its radio stations and its TV stations. And what we have, because the law does not impose on the non-public broadcasters to participate in the election, they do it voluntarily. We have not seen ETV coming forward. At least they have not responded to our regulation. Instead, we've had the commercial radio stations and the community radio stations coming forward. And we are very excited that such a large number of them are willing to participate in the election process.
Members, you heard it all as it is, unpalatable as may be. But it's on your table. You choose what you want to do. But I'll assume that all our troubles will be answered by SABC, because it's clear that SABC so far has been on its own. So our showing of crowds without voice will ask SABC from 2 o'clock. B454, that's where we're going from 2 o'clock. I'm told that there will be a finger lunch outside here. But at 2, we meet at B454. I think political parties now, they have some understanding of what is happening. I'm sure they do understand, but we could not stomach it, what we've been seeing on TV, especially when it comes to these political issues and so on. Honorable Killen?
So, Chairperson, if I understood correctly, we will have the monitoring of the current affairs program. Obviously, news is something different. So, it's the monitoring of current affairs programs, and Big Brother will only start watching on Monday. Is that correct? We are also keenly awaiting the final slots, so that would be also be interesting, and I think what is important from that is that we tried, Honourable Chair, through the IEC, we wanted to just change a little bit, but there was no movement because made a presentation in November last year. Political parties found it difficult and it's everybody, including the ANC representatives, said if we could rather have more frequent, but not 2 minutes. Because it's quite a long period, especially for television, it's also a problem. But that was unfortunately that is what it is. So at this stage, the ICASA is not attending to any of the other complaints. Thank you.
Complaint? You go to that one of the broadcasters, complaint commission, the long name, Magazi.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chairman, mine is just to welcome this piece of legislation that governs, the regulations that governs the elections. And I think as Dr. Sosiqo has mentioned that this is the first kind that the regulator actually, they've made sure that when it's time for elections, actually those elections, they are being regulated. So I think we welcome this, Chair. I hope political parties, even my party, we promise we will behave so. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, members. You see, proportional representative. It's a big word. No. Thanks very much, Chairperson, and your councillors have already done previously. Your executive, everyone who's here, Deaf SA. I must go back to the issue of Deaf SA. I consulted with the rules. Unfortunately, the rules does not allow to give you the opportunity to pose questions because you are not in a public hearing or in a committee set-up meeting. That's why I could not come back and give you that opportunity. But at 2 o'clock, we're starting SABC. If you've got issues, maybe what I can do is to ask Honorable Zebe or the other parties if they've got a person just to interact with the SA during the finger lunch so that they can be able to relate what type of issues they need to be raised so that when we deal with SABC, you are able also to take on board their issues and so on. My apology that you could not be able to make your case vis-à-vis of Parliament. But Honorable Tribes volunteered that she will be with you and carry forward your issues as we meet SABC at 2 V454. There is a finger lunch outside. You can help yourself, but can I request that if you can make sure that something is remaining for members too? The experience that members they suffer the consequences of being the last to go out. And so, thanks very much. That concludes the business of this for now until 2.
But I haven't got any funding for 7 out of 8 of the
strategic objectives.
I'm sure we have met before. Yes, yeah, I know you from 2 years.
Yes,
you must tell her. I'm sure
I know you from 2 years. Are you
flying
back? Well,
by the way,
no, it was a long time ago from Scotland. By a great grandfather, great grandfather, or whatever it was, and his children were graduates. His children first directed. His name graduates came from Johan Henrik Kuka to John Henry Scotland.
Okay.
And you
exactly
put it in
the room.
That's the bloody.
So, is he one of the students here as well?
No, no, it's in London.
Oh, I see. So, it's coming by
a German chap went from, chap was from Germany to Britain. And that's where the name of England is. My family's only been in this country for, My wife's family has been here many more than my father's. Now, what's interesting is that on my mother's side, one of her grandfathers fought in the World War on the British side. Seeing a long line of generals became a botanist instead and moved to South Africa.
It's always interesting, you know, you go back to
it. Thank you, Matthew was born and died in Scotland.
It's the same to very much the British as well, that era. So we're talking late Victorian period or sort of early 20th
century. My ancestors I'm talking about moving to South Africa.
I'm talking about sort of the long history of supporting botanists in England and France. Botanists supporting people into plots.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now that's my mother's parents came to South Africa after the World War. When the boy was in 1903, wasn't it?
1902.
And my grandmother was born in about 1903.
I was 1905.
She was born in the UK. But it's only when she was a young woman. It was way up. Way up. It's in the print. He went up. We travelled all over Angola, Oxfam, and somebody else somewhere else, and a raft.
Very interesting.
Yeah. read the botany, you may come across.
Interesting, all sorts of our families fit together.
Yes.
You know, my two kids and families, got three of them, as you know, of
Thank you.
They're not the main inconsideration to the covenant, but you know, the little side that is opposite to perceive it. Can you say somebody in the Bible and even more? Yeah, because I'm afraid that, you know, the battery's down to this dark and I'm afraid it's not going to last a lot. Okay, I'll come over there and meet them. All right. Yeah, I'll tell her that you can't come back to another person that I need the office to bring me about.
Yeah, I think that also the There's a building there. You can go with your car. Yeah. Come to deliver something.
That's why.